Judges, the 7th chapter, and we're going to continue our story a little bit about Gideon this morning and look at him for a little while. And something that I think is very interesting in the testing and the trying of the people of Israel, and Gideon getting ready to go to war. And God says, want you to bring the people, and I want to test them. 32,000 of them gathered, and the Lord said, that's just too many. Said, that's too many. And they was outnumbered then probably about 4-1. And God said, it's too many. And we kind of discussed last week, you remember, that one of the main reasons he said he has to deal with it, because, and I'll just read the verse in chapter 7, verse 2, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. And he says the first thing we got to deal with is this matter of pride. And he said, if you know, they'll vaunt themselves. They'll say, we're the ones that done it rather than that God did it. So he said, you've got too many warriors. And so he said, he dealt with that and said the reason why he had to cut the number. And then he told them that those that was afraid, fearful and afraid, they just go on back home. And come to find out, there was 22,000 out of the 32,000 that headed back. That's amazing. And just think about that. God don't want us to be afraid to live the Christian life and to fight the battles that we fight. He wants us to go forward knowing and trusting God, that God will take care of us. And so he sent them home. And so then, spent some time on the fact that God tests every single one of us. We're not going to spend a lot of time that this morning, but listen, individually, you and I will be tested. I've always said every step of faith is all real faith is always tested. God always tests it. Think about, when you build your house. We sing that song, you built your house on the sand, or you build your house on the rock. And it talks about the rain coming and the floods coming, the wind blowing. And I've always looked at that back down through the years. I believe God tests a church because the pastor is the roof. And the rains come to test him, always. And I've always looked at the structure of the house as the congregation. And the winds come and blow and test the congregation. Always there's testing. And then the real thing that really determines everything, though, is the floods come and test the foundation. And you and I know where the foundation must be. Our foundation must be in Jesus Christ. It must be, or that foundation is going to fall. But I say also that's that same thing with a family. The rains come and test the head of the family, which is the man of the home. And the rains come and they test him. And the structure, I've always looked at the family as the wife and the children. And that family will be tested. The winds will come. They'll blow. They'll come, no doubt. But again, what determines whether it stands or not is the foundation. That's why the Lord said, you must build your foundation on Jesus Christ. You see, he must be the foundation of any home, any church, you see. And truthfully, should be the foundation of any nation. Amen. Should be. And so will the testing come, folks? It's going to come. Okay? It's just the way God does things, and it tests us. So we spent quite a bit of time on that. But then we get down to verse number 5. I want to read through verse number 5. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped would I save you, and deliver the Midianites unto thy hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his own place. You look at this, and it's kind of a strange story. God, by just one action here, by how these men got a drink out of the stream of water, he determined whether they would be worthy to go and be part of the 300. He said, those that fall down on their knees, and I'm not going to do it today. I don't think I can do it. But fall down on their knees and stick their face down into the water and begin to drink, I don't want them. 9,700 of them did that. But he said, if they pick up the water in their hands like this and drink, I want them to go. Now, the whole difference is those who bowed down their head to the water is not paying attention to what's going on around them. They're not alert. And in fact, I got to think about that. I thought, oh, so, you know, you could stick your face down into water and drink, and you don't know for sure what's coming into that. You don't know what you're drinking. But if you take the water up in your hands, you can see you've got clean water. And you can be looking all the time that you're drinking. You can be alert. See, you're not going to have your head buried in the sand. And I was thinking, by that one action, God chose to not have those that bowed their head down. And the reason was they wasn't paying any attention. They wasn't alert. And we want to talk about being alert this morning. But that person that took that water in his hand and drank like this could still look and watch and be alert as to what was going on around them. Now you think about that. That's just a seemingly just kind of a small thing. But God said, those can't go. I need 300 men who are alert and looking, watching, and seeing what's going on. And so I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, That's one of the things I believe that God looks for in leadership, whether that be in a church, whether that be in a home. He looks that to see if that person is constantly aware of what's going on in their family or in their church, has an eye for problems and troubles and to keep an eye on, as we've said many times, know the state of your flock. We should know the state of our flock. We should keep an eye on those around us and our family and kind of, you know, have an idea where they're at spiritually and what's going on in their lives. And so I've always believed that, and I believe there's just been too much in families across this nation that pay no attention to what's going on spiritually in their children's lives as they grow up. But it's important that we do that, you see. So God was going to prune the ones that was not alert. He was not going to use them, you see. I believe something. I believe that all around us, if we'll just take a whole week, I believe throughout that week, God has and presents to us opportunities, constantly opportunities to be a witness for Him. I just happen to believe that. I don't believe that every week ought to go by or every day ought to go by that we're not alert to the fact that God wants to use us. He wants us to keep an eye on those around us and the opportunities maybe for witnessing. whether it be, you know, no matter where it would be. I remember here around Christmas time, I walked into Walmart, and we was, and I don't like to go to Walmart, I'm just truthful, but I walked into Walmart, and there's an old fella, see, I can say he's old because he's older than me, and come to find out he was 81 years old, and so I walked over there, and he was looking around, and I said, well, are you finding what you want? Yeah, he said, I think I am. He said, you know, when in doubt, buy candy. That's what he said. He said, every woman likes chocolate. I said, well, you got that right. I said, I know mine. So we struck up a conversation. We just started talking. And I believe it's a God's appointment. Now, I didn't lead him to the Lord right there, but I got to give him a track, talk to him. Talked to him for a good little bit about the Lord. We discussed some things. He said, oh, I've got diabetes. I said, well, I do too. I said, don't everybody? We just kidded around, talked for a while, and he started telling me all the people in his family that died of diabetes, and he said, I got to be careful. And I said, how old are you? He said, 81. I said, you're doing good. So we just talked, but four left, got to witness to him about the Lord, told him what God done for me. I'm just saying, I believe if you'll be alert to every situation, God wants to use you. He's got a purpose there. And he wants people to be alert to that and to be ready to be used no matter where you're at. There's something there that God wants to do, you see. So anyway, I want to cover some things about being alert. Now, I want to read to you a little piece, first of all, and you may have known this. I didn't know this, but back in World War II, I think it says here. I just want to read you this piece. It says, did you know that in World War I, the pheasant and parrot were used as a form of radar because of their qualities of alertness? The French kept parrots in the Eiffel Tower as an early warning system against enemy attack. These birds could hear enemy aircraft long before they arrived. Pheasants were used not only for their keen hearing, but they can also detect the slightest vibration in the earth from the footsteps of soldiers or cannon fire. When God created the ear hole of the pheasant, he covered it with small feathers, which are uniquely designed to protect the bird's ear from air turbulence without obstructing the bird's hearing. Thinking that, I didn't know that, but I'd read that, and I thought that was interesting. You know, these birds were very alert. They could hear. And I was thinking, when I read that, I thought, you know, that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be very alert to what's going on. So I'm going to cover some things this morning, some areas that I believe God wants us. I'm going to give you, wants us to be alert and watchful. Now, I'm going to give you the address to these. I'll give you the scripture address. We're not going to turn to every one, but if you want to write it down, that's fine. But I believe God wants us, and we try to keep that before us, but wants us alert to the second coming of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be always looking for him. In Matthew 25, 13, it says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And what he's saying, you know, keep an eye out. Look for the signs of the times. Folks, listen, they're all around us. I mean, do you understand that? They're everywhere you look. The signs of the time of Jesus Christ is all around us. And God says, keep your eye open. Look, watch. And I'm not just talking about the physical eye. I'm talking about the inward eye of understanding that Jesus is soon to come. And so he wants us to be alert to that and aware of that. He says in Revelation 3rd chapter 11th verse, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You know, he's saying to us, I come quickly. It's going to come. That's the way he's going to come. And he said, be careful that you don't, your crown is not stolen. And folks, listen, many of you out here, we're the more of the older adults, at least from 40 on up. We've been around a while. We've served the Lord. We've done things for God. And God says, you know, it's possible, though, that those things you did, those crowns that you won, can be taken from you. You know, you can't just say, well, I did it back here. I've done it for years, and so I just quit and don't worry about it, and I'll live however. No, you can't do that. See, God says just stick in there and just keep living for God, walking with the Lord, and do it every day. Amen? So you've got to, you and I have got to watch and be alert to the fact that the second coming of Jesus is coming. You read the you read the paper, you look at Israel. I'm telling you, Israel's in the paper every day. And if that don't tell us something, Jerusalem, there's a big battle over Jerusalem going on all the time. If that don't tell us something, that's what the Scripture says will happen. We ought to be looking up and realizing our redemption draweth nigh. You see? And so God wants us to be alert to these things, you see. Also, he wants us to be careful about temptations. In Matthew, the 26th chapter, the 41st verse, watch, again he uses that word, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He said you better watch it, you better be careful, because temptation is always right there at the door. Now, he said, you keep your eye open. You watch. You think maybe that you're not going to be tempted? That's not what... No, no. God says you be careful. That old flesh is weak. Amen? Anybody want to testify? Amen. Flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. You see, so God is again telling us, you better keep your eyes open. You better be alert. You better not have your head down into the water drinking. You better have it up here where you can keep an eye on things. Amen? See, temptations is always, always there. Then also, in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 12th verse, he tells us that, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Again, I think that goes back to pride and self-dependence instead of God-dependence. Folks, you and I just are not strong enough to meet the temptations and this old life by ourselves. You and I just can't do it. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need his strength and his help. And so he says, don't think you can stand. You better take heed. You better be careful. You're not going to do it. We won't be able to. Amen. So he's again telling us, you better keep an eye out on these things. You better be alert to what's going on around you, you see. And that's why he chose them 300, because they was alert. They was going to be used of God. They was going to mind the Lord. And then he tells us to be also alert to satanic attacks. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You see, Satan, and I think you already know this, but let me remind you, Satan's out to destroy you. You see, he just wants to destroy you. He wants your, not only your soul, that's what he really wants. But if you get saved, then he wants to destroy your Christian life. And we've got to be aware of that, that Satan is not your friend, that he despises you. You understand this? I mean, do you realize that he's against you? He's not for you? If he can destroy your personal Christian life, your testimony will be gone. You understand? It's going to be hindered, hurt. Well, you can't let him do that. You see, he's an adversary. He's the adversary of the devil, and he's against God's people. He He's, of course, against God, but he's against God's people. He'll do anything to just to destroy you. Okay? Are you willing to take that admonition and be aware and be alert constantly, because he's there doing everything he can to hurt you, to destroy you. You understand? But we have one that's greater. See, it don't have to be that way. That's why God is warning us. It does not have to be that way. And so be alert to the fact that old Satan, you see, hates you and is going to do everything he can to destroy you. But we have a great God in us. It don't have to be that way. Okay? All right. Also, in talking about our prayers and supplication to the Lord, God tells us to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. If you're like me, and I'm sure you are, we got a lot to pray about. I sometimes think my prayer time gets more extended all the time, because it seems like the list gets bigger. And we've got a lot to pray about. We've got a lot to beseech God about. And he says what we are to do is continue in prayer. I just want to encourage you about something. Don't have the slightest idea what you do about prayer. But I want to tell you, that's one of the places God does not, or excuse me, old Satan does not want you to spend any time. He just doesn't. And you and I have got to pray. We've got to continue in praying. I don't think that we just stop when we get off of our knees. I think it should be a continual thing throughout the day. That you throw up prayers to the Lord. Ask him and talk to him about things that's going on in your life and other people's life. I think it's an attitude that we have. That we live our life just, you know, constantly ready to slip up a prayer to the Lord. I've had a habit for a long time when I see little children, just meet them on the street or see them in a store, I'll say, Lord, save that little child. And I just do. I don't know. I mean, save that little child. Bring them to you. Their parents, too. Talk to them. Sometimes if you see a bad situation, I'll ask the Lord to intervene and do what he needs to do. You know, ain't nobody hears it but me. We was in McDonald's down in Evansville here a while back when we went down to preach, and that was a bad situation. This parent was there and just cursing her children, and it looked like maybe a grandma and grandpa was with them, and they was looking kind of sheepish, and the little boy's name was Ashley. That's what she called him anyway. And got all over him and just made him feel awful, you know. And so I pray for Ashley from time to time. I don't do it every day, but from time to time, the Lord will bring his name to me, and I pray for him and ask God to save him and save his mama and daddy and grandparents. What I'm just saying is we got to continue in prayer, and we got to be watchful. We have a lot of prayer going on around this church. People meet and pray. I think that's a wonderful thing. But, sometimes if you see someone having a bad day, you don't always have to say anything to them. You can if God wants you to, but sometimes you can just pray. I went down the aisle just a little while ago where the children were sitting, and I seen this little girl, and I said, hi, how you doing? So I knelt down there by her, and I said, you having a bad day? And she said, yes. I said, what's the matter? And she said, my grandma died. Her name was Brooklyn. I don't know what her last name was. The little girl's name was Brooklyn, and she said, my grandma died. So she told me a story about her grandma dying, and plenty to pray about. Amen. God says, continue and pray and watch. Watch. Keep your spiritual ears open. You understand? See, there's plenty to do, folks. I don't understand these folks that spend all their time trying to cause trouble. I got so much time wound up in prayer and worrying about somebody than I do to want to cause trouble. It ain't worth it. Amen. You understand why he's saying be alert to things going on around you. Watch people. That little girl had an awful sad face on this morning. And you couldn't have missed it. Amen. So be alert. Just be alert. It says continue in prayer. Then he says, also we got to be careful about our tongue. He says in Psalms 39:1, I said I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Now once again, he's saying, I want you to take heed. I want you to be careful what you say. Because a tongue, one statement can devastate a person when it's unnecessary. I don't have time to do it because I'm not supposed to do it this morning, but I just wish you, or you and I both, would go back to the book of Proverbs and just read about what God says about the tongue. I know book of James, third chapter of James, has a lot to say, but book of Proverbs has a lot to say about speaking and how much we speak. The tongue can be a wicked thing. It can absolutely just devastate somebody in a moment's time. And it's like an arrow that is almost impossible to reach out and grab it back, because it's already done its work. So God is telling us, you take heed. You be careful what you say. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? You just be careful. You stop and think. I've tried to do this for years. I know I'm not perfect. I know all about that. I have much trouble as anybody else, this thing here. It's a wicked thing. But I know this. Over the years, I've learned to stop before I answer. I want to stop and think. Okay? And, well, you need to do that. You need to take heed. Don't hurt. Stop and think. You don't have to answer everybody. Do you know just because somebody asks you something, you have to answer it? You do not. You do not. Sometimes it's better just to be mum. Not say anything. Amen? So just be careful, because that tongue can cut to ribbons. Amen? God says you better take heed. Now, I'm talking to all of us, okay? He said take heed with that tongue. Put a bridle on it. You know what a bridle is for, don't you? You put a bridle in a horse's mouth so you can control it. Control that horse. You pull him back and that bridle comes back into his mouth and pulls him up. God says we better put a bridle on our tongue. Amen? It'll save you much trouble. Save this church much trouble. Amen? Save the work of God much, much trouble. Amen? So God says once again, take heed. Be alert to what's going on. Be careful. Amen? Then also, be alert to the sorrow of others. Philippians, the second chapter, the fourth verse says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, no matter where we are, that doesn't mean to nose into someone's business. Okay? I think you already know that, but that doesn't mean, you know, pay attention and be nosy about everybody's business. It just says be alert to the needs of others. Okay? Be very, very careful and be alert to there, because there is people out there that just need a kind word. A kind action, a smile. You understand? What we need to do is get our self-centeredness out of the way. We are living, and you know this, in one of the most selfish generations that's ever been on the face of this earth. Selfish. It's not about others, it's about me. And God says, no, that's not the way to live. So we've got to be very careful and watchful about others. What's going on in their life? You don't have to know all that's going on in their life to be a blessing. But you can pretty well see, as that little girl, none of you, if you just happened to see her, you didn't see her, it's okay. But I just happened to see her. Man, I mean, her face looked devastated. And if you be alert, well, let's find out if you can be a help. I've got a little statement that I'll tell myself sometime over the years, okay? I say to myself, try to leave every situation a little better than you found it. Now, there's times you can't do a thing. But if you can, any situation, try to leave it a little better than what you found it. Okay? I think that's being alert to what's going on. Amen? Then also be alert to service opportunities. The Bible tells us in Matthew, the 9th chapter, the 37th verse, "Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few." We're going to talk about just service here. Many of you here have served the Lord for many, many years. But be aware that there's very few laborers. And God needs more laborers. Okay? Amen? He needs laborers. The harvest is plenteous. And the labors are few. So be aware, even if it's the smallest, what you would consider the very smallest of activity, be willing to do it. Amen? Just be willing to do it. Just be a part of it. I think that's, I think down through the years, I've pastored for quite a few years, been preaching 40 years now, and there's those people that if you want something done, you have to go look for them to get it done. Then there's those who, if you ask, they'll do it. And then there's those who do it before they're asked. They see it, they see a need, and they accomplish it. They take care of it if it's within their ability to do so. So I guess I'm saying be one of those that, you know, probably don't even have to be asked. If you see something needs to be done, just do it. I'm talking about within the realm of your ability to do and where it's possible to do it. Just do it. Just do it. Okay? Labors are few. Labors are needed. Amen. Amen. And then we have also we need to be alert to souls that need to be saved. John 4th chapter, 35th verse says, "Say not ye, there are yet many months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your ears, your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." There's multitude and multitudes of souls that need to be saved. I think you understand that. Folks, listen to me. We've got to be alert to those that are not saved. We've got to do that. We've got to keep that on our mind and be, some people say, be soul conscious. I told a young man here just not very long ago who needs to be preaching. I said, "Do you realize that there is souls going to hell every single day by the multitudes? by the multitudes. And they're dying every single day, and there's churches all over this United States of America that don't have pastors. They don't have preachers, good preachers, that would preach the Word of God. Brother Abel, we was out visiting yesterday, and I might tell you, Mrs. Swaggart got saved yesterday. She came to the Lord and got saved. And is your grandson going to be baptized today too? Her and her grandson's going to be baptized today. And I'm so thankful, so grateful. Fine lady, been through a lot of hardships in her life, but she put her trust in Jesus Christ and accepted him as her personal Savior. Brother Abel was telling me, he said he traveled. You know, he travels this whole country. He's like Mike back here. They drive trucks and they get around. Usually on Wednesday, he tries to find a church somewhere to get into, and he was just telling me this. He'll stop, and he has a directory that kind of helps him. Supposed to be independent fundamental Baptist churches, okay? And so he'll do his best to stop at one of those if he's close to it where he can slip in to a service. And he said it's devastating what's going on. He goes in, went into this little church. It's supposed to be independent fundamental Baptist church, and there was a some ladies in there and getting ready, and the pastor hadn't got there yet, and they was wearing shorts, some of them. Pastor finally got there, and he's at a podium down here. I hate them podiums down there. I hate them things. I want behind a pulpit. But he said he finally got behind it, came in with a t-shirt and t-shirt on, looking all scruffy. What's the matter? What's going on? He said he sees this a lot. What in the world's going on? Do we understand there's souls going to hell every day that need somebody to set an example and a standard of righteousness and godliness? And I don't know, folks. I'm just telling you, we need young men out here preaching the Word of God, getting in these churches that don't have any pastors. We need them. Amen? Yeah, we do. So again, I just say to you folks, we've got to be aware. You and I have got to be aware about souls all around us. And God will bring you into contact with people. Be a witness. You say they don't pay attention. Don't matter. Give them a gospel tract. Say something to them. I try to, when I'm nothing. I know that. But when I go into a store, conversation usually before, it's cold out there. Yeah, but I said, you know, the Lord's so good. He gave us a good warm home. I'm getting ready to go home and getting that old warm home that God gave me. You kind of leave some kind of the goodness of God. You understand? Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and your kindness, your grace. Thank you for Jesus. He's lovely. He's wonderful. And without him, we can't do anything. And Father, you're the one that gives the increase. You're the one that does everything. But you give us the privilege to be a servant and help and be there in wonderful situations. Thank you. Now you use us to God's glory. In Jesus' name, amen.